Welcome to another fantastic edition of Coffee Conversations with Sinti. Once in a while I get visitors that I'm not even able to introduce because they are that big. Today I'm joined in the studio by Ken Varigis, the royalty of Out of Home Media. How are you, Ken?
Thank you very much for that very kind introduction.
Alright, you've been described as a maverick, as a go-getter, as the guy who charts the way, a guy that you can't copy. It must be amazing being you and doing what you love, I guess, because that can only come from a place when you do what you love.
No, thank you very much. I think people have been very kind to me by saying those beautiful things. At the end of the day, it really is an industry that I love, to be honest. I've been in the industry since 1988. So this is 30 years in the industry.
Ooh.
And I suppose over time you get to know a lot of people. And I must say it's a fantastic industry. You've got incredible people in the industry, very dynamic. And from that perspective, it keeps me attracted to the environment, and I consistently want to be in this space.
All right.
I want to work with people are just amazing. So that's why I've stuck it out, and then I love it so much.
I'm very much interested in the transition from year to year, era to era. There was a time a couple of years back when brand was, I remember reading when I was in high school that brand is going to be the next big thing. And right now we've forgotten about it because there's 20 other big things that have come along. How has the progression been for you, and how have you managed to become and remain relevant in an ever-changing environment?
Look, I think that, you know, you're only as good as your last game.
All right.
So you consistently have got to be, you've got to evolve, you've got to be prepared to take risks.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, somebody who's risk averse, it's very difficult to be an entrepreneur.
Exactly. You can't move on to the next round, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. And honestly, you know, the reality is that you will fail at some things. And don't take failure as a negative. Often in this country, people regard a failure as a big negative, and they may put a bit of a bad mark next to your name.
All right.
And I think that's absolutely wrong, because it's a great learning experience. Whatever you've done, focus on the next thing, put in your effort, try hard, and you'll get there. So it's about, number one, taking a risk, and you've got to have the ability to take that risk.
Yeah.
And the second component of it is don't be afraid. And I know it's a hard thing to say, especially when you put cash on the table.
Yeah.
It's a hard thing to say, you've got to make it work, but you have to put in many hours. This is not an 8-to-5 operation, not an 8-to-5 business. And if you do think that that's all you can afford, then rather work for someone else. Don't try to be an entrepreneur, because it genuinely is not going to work.
And comparing the industry between
1988
and now, what huge difference is there between then and now?
Look, to be honest, I started off in the corporate environment. In 88, I was at the SABC in KwaZulu-Natal.
All right.
So I was the advertising manager for Natal, and the reality was I looked after both radio and TV.
We still had black and white televisions back in the day. And two or three color TVs.
Well, fortunately, we progressed to color by
now. All right.
But the TVs were those big boxes.
Oh, yeah, with the belly at the back.
Exactly, with a big belly at the back. And so that was really what my role was in that space. I was very focused on radio.
All right.
In those days, it was Radio Kozi, was then called Radio Zulu. That's the biggest radio station. That station is incredible.
I mean, wow.
People forget the size of that station. The DJs were so popular.
All right.
That they were like almost like gods. And we had that, and we had then what was today East Coast Radio, was then called Radio Port Natal.
All right.
And we had Radio Lotus in that territory. And it was nice having a cross segment of radio stations we could work with. Yeah, so I worked in that space, and they brought me up to Johannesburg.
City of after. Gold and Lights.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I was a Durban boy.
All right.
And then they brought me up here, and I really looked after the marketing services for all television and radio. More the research component behind it, and knowledge behind why people should be buying into media, which was great for me.
Yeah.
Because it gave me a lot of insight into understanding different media types.
All right.
And that really was a good grounding for me.
All right.
And I used it. I used to go to every function, every event, try to be the last person there.
To live, yeah.
So you use it as a training ground, in essence.
Yeah.
And then from there I went off and, you know, joined, well, we then became a focus of TV in this space, and then I left and started with a guy called Alan Prentice, who had Star Taxi Music, which were the cassette tapes used to give to the taxi drivers.
Oh, and then it was a long time ago.
C60s. That was in the late. Yeah. He started in the late 80s.
All right.
And I joined him in 93.
Okay.
And from there we became, you know, with Star Taxi Music, we became TaxiNet, then CommuterNet. Primedia bought into our business, and we developed a range of other media.
CommuterNet.
I've started CommuterNet.
All right, that's interesting.
So, on the upside, I mean, it really got us into a range of it. We were the transit media guys in the country. Yeah. We had so many different media types aimed at reaching the economically active person who used the taxi for the transit purposes.
The numbers were there, and it made sense to try and reach them through that medium.
Very much so. It's enormous numbers. And we had the Star Taxi Music, and we had advertising on taxis, and we had advertising in the taxi, and we had trains and buses.
All right.
And we had Rank TV, which was massive TV screens in the taxi ranks with audio throughout the rank.
Yeah.
And we had...
it helped, because if you were in the queue there waiting for a taxi, you were never bored. There was always something to watch on the screen.
Absolutely.
Thank you for the entertainment, Vlad.
That was the purpose. I'm glad that you managed to enjoy it.
Yeah.
And it really was the attention, and it was a fantastic business. And you know, and as time goes on, you've got to progress. And every time there's a new development within the market, you've got to look at the opportunity and look at it and take a jump into that space. So we did that, and we did very, very well. We sold, you know, ultimately sold our stake into, you know, with Primedia.
All right.
Developed new stuff, sold it again to Primedia, and then I started the Primedia Unlimited, which was the innovative hub of the Primedia Group.
Okay.
And we started it from scratch. It was just me and my cell phone, and then we built that into a very big group where profitability was enormous. We grew over 11 years. I think it was 36% year-on-year compound growth for 11 years. So it was fantastic. And we ranged from a range of out-of-home media to large format to the washroom advertising to advertising. We had all the shopping mall rights.
All right.
And the Prime Mall, where I started that business.
And obviously back then that was a new phenomenon. Those are channels that people had bought. We see them all the time, but we don't think they are eternal.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. No, those days it was a brand new phenomenon.
Yeah.
We really started to change up what was being done within the mall.
All right.
Other people had started advertising in malls, but it was never to the level of what we had actually produced and put together. So it was a great business, and we had 15 different businesses in that space. All the pharmacy rights, we across a range of channels. We had the rights for advertising in the Edcon Group in Edgar's, Red Square advertising. So we really focused on so many different elements, and in each space we had our own leaders, own sales teams who focused on that business.
All right.
And then you've got to progress. So as time goes on, you've got to consistently look what's new,
what's the next
channel, what's the next focus.
Yeah.
So, you know, ultimately I left and I sold out my stakeholding to Primedia 2.5 years ago.
All right.
And I started again, as I had done with my numerous businesses. I started with, taxing the CommuterNet, sold to Primedia, then started Primedia Unlimited, then sold. Now starting again, and this time it's within the Infinity Group.
All right.
We've got a range of different companies within that group.
Okay.
And the beauty now, again, is to look at the new opportunity, new developments, where's the market going, how do you influence the ultimately...
the direction of the market, basically.
To a large extent, it's not so much direction of the market, but it's really about how do I actually ensure that I'm getting a better bang for the buck with regard to my brand.
Yeah.
And you've got to consistently look at that process and say, what's the right way to do it today? And you know, today with social media, the world's changed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
I mean, there's just a completely different world to what it was historically.
Yeah. True.
And as a result, people have the right or the ability now to affect your brand in either a positive way or a negative way. And the whole process today is to make sure that you actually tuning people in to become more positive about your brand than negative. And and there's a lot of opportunity for negativity with regard to...
You need to influence the narrative.
Twitter, very much so.
Yeah.
And I mean, the response time of clients today's brands today is far better when somebody complains than what it used to be.
Yeah.
Before it was...
They used to just bang the phone down on you,
Absolutely. Yeah. It was never really didn't really have to worry too much. Now you have to worry because that person could be have a lot of friends and they have ability to influence those individuals, so you've got to be concerned to that as a brand.
Yeah.
And you know, at the end of the day, people, you know, you want to get not likability of brand, you want to get brand love.
Love,
and that's critical.
Yeah. especially in this very competitive and changing environment, it needs to exist for you to be able to exist as well.
Yeah, very much.
And in terms of Infinity, what sort of companies fall under the mother brand?
So we've got a range of different companies. We have a business called Ad Colony, which is it's an international business that we managed to get the rights for South Africa and into Africa.
Okay.
And really what it is, it's the advertising rights in all the gaming platforms. So whether you're talking about the likes of Candy Crush or Solitaire or whatever you own in gaming. Yeah. And the most incredible thing is that just about everybody's a gamer.
Yes.
So
different levels of gaming, but everybody does.
Everyone games. You know, people think that a gamer is just somebody who sits in front of an Xbox.
Yeah, exactly.
PlayStation. Yeah. That's gaming is anyone who just does anything on their phone and has a little bit of, you know, let's play a little bit of golf or a little bit of whatever it may be. So that sort of gaming component, we have the rights into that. We serve full HD video content into that.
All right.
We have in cards, etc. And it's amazing what, you know, that you, in terms of what our response time is.
Yeah.
Sorry, the not the response time, sorry, the completed views.
Yeah.
We actually, in most cases, ahead of the game with regard to Facebook and Google in terms of what we deliver.
All right.
So it's been fantastic. Great to be in that space. We've got a business called Orange Block, which is an eventing business. So we create events. We just now created an event called the Cape Castle Heritage Run in Cape Town.
Oh, yeah.
And somebody, you know, we're going to get a sponsor on board now and get an 8K run around the city of Cape Town, learn about the heritage of Cape Town, back to the Cape Castle, food stalls, music, etc. And we create those sort of events. We own the Whiskey Live Festival. So we have that in Johannesburg at the Sandton Convention Center, the biggest whiskey festival in the world.
Okay.
We only just recently introduced some gins and vodkas and so on. It's been amazing. It's really worked well. Get about 10,000 people to that event. And then we take that around the country in a smaller component.
All right.
Then we have a business. We have all the tuk-tuks that operate Sandton, Hatfield and so on. So those have been great. And at the moment, I'll brand them and have a good affiliation with those. And then we have a business called Oomph, which is an out-of-home, sort of an eventing business. It's eventing, it's more, activation.
All right.
So we have gig rigs, these massive gig rigs, and smaller, you know, similar type of opportunities where we go into environments and promote product and showcase product to the consumer. And then we have a very recently, we're looking at some other opportunities, media space that historically never existed because of technology.
Yeah.
So we're very focused on that technological front, and we'll make some announcements in the next couple of months about where we're going in that space.
Okay.
And in each environment, I must emphasize that you have a definitive leader and a sales team.
Yeah.
That sell independently. So in other words, they don't sell across the platform.
Oh, okay, then wrong. All right, that's interesting.
And then we also have a business where we operate MediaPop. We operate in the Dion Wilde stores. We've got digital screens in the Dion Wilde environment.
All right.
Where brands that operate there can actually advertise inside that space.
Okay.
Brands that sell. So yeah, those are the different businesses we presently sit with.
All right.
And we're looking to grow even further under the Infinity brand.
Yeah. Well, what I'm liking about your ideas is they are so simple, but sophisticated and effective, and I guess that's what your customers are looking for, something that is simple but that delivers results at the end of the day. Let's talk about influencer marketing. It's a fairly new concept.
Yeah, so look, we have a business, Assault, which is an influencer marketing business, and that business has been phenomenal. I mean, we started it some 4.5 years ago, and the growth of that business has been exceptional, off of a small base, but it's been really exceptional. And we have a credible client base, and what's nice is that most of the clients, once they've been on our platform, come back.
All right.
Because of the deliverables. So it's been very, very good. So influencer marketing, they say it's new. The reality is that influencer marketing probably started before any other form of advertising.
Yeah, true.
I mean, you know, what did Eve do to Adam?
Yeah.
to make him a sheep. You know, and
it was an environment of trust, and she just suggested something, and boom,
correct.
There was an action.
There's the point. So I'm saying that she was a big influencer.
I'm going to steal that from you and use it in one of my
absolutely. So we know that it stems back from the beginning of time, and that's the reality. That's the truth of it. And if you consider today, if I sit here and we have a conversation and we're friends, and I say to you, you know what, I'm went to a restaurant yesterday, the most amazing restaurant. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you about it where it was. Believe me, you got to go.
Yes.
So I just influenced you to go to that restaurant.
Yeah.
And it's about an enjoyment component. And what I mean by influencer marketing from to a large extent is not to take someone who's never experienced the brand. It's about someone who uses their brand, likes the brand, but I turn them into, if you can turn them into someone who loves the brand,
loves it, yeah.
And I then tie into create great word of mouth,
yeah.
And I tie into their social media, then influencer marketing becomes a phenomenal experience.
Yeah.
And the beauty of it is that you get different formats of influencer marketing. You get a micro influencer. So a micro influencer is just you and me, people like us.
Okay.
And the reality is that we have on our social media, we have friends, and when we have word of mouth. People, we go to the office, or we go to the gym, or we go to rock climbing.
Yeah.
Those are all our friends.
Yeah.
And you have the ability to influence them because you have a two-way communication.
Yeah.
You tell them about a brand, they can ask you a question back, give me a little bit more information.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, it works exceptionally well as a micro influencer.
Yeah.
Or you have another influencer, it could be a celebrity. So a celebrity could be Trevor Noah, as we all know.
Yeah.
The problem with an influencer of that level is that it's a one-way communication. So when Trevor Noah says something to you on Twitter or Instagram,
yeah.
and he communicates to you about a brand, you can't go back to him and say, tell me a little bit more, Trevor.
Yeah. Most of the time they don't respond, or they tell you to bugger off, they've got better things to do.
He's not going
to
answer you. He's got millions of followers.
That's true, yeah.
He hasn't got the ability to communicate back. Whereas a micro-influencer, you and I, we speak back to our friends. Of course we'll answer.
So basically what you're saying is when the communities are smaller, the proliferation of brand is actually more effective because of that two-way communication.
Absolutely, because it allows that the two-way communication allows for more detail about the brand. You know, and that's the beauty of influencer marketing. Influencer marketing, the real beauty of influencer marketing is that it allows for far more in-depth understanding of the brand.
Okay.
So ordinarily, what can you get across in a 30-second commercial on TV?
Oh yeah,
a billboard.
That's true.
30-second radio commercial.
And you've actually paid more for that channel to broadcast your message.
So I mean, the reality of it is that you can get a certain component, you can start to build a brand, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But when I need detail across, if I'm trying to educate someone about my brand specifically in this, give you an example, and I say to you, the banks all have a reward program.
Yeah.
You know, the more you spend, the reward mechanisms. How many people actually understand the reward program that exists? Very few.
Yeah.
So as a result, you need an influencer program to start to educate people about this.
Yeah.
What is my reward? What do I get? How does it work? How do I make it work better for me? Yeah. People just don't know.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's one of the issues as an example. You know? Yeah. Well, if I take a medication, let's take a herbal treatment medication.
Yeah.
There are a range of benefits that medication will have, but you can't get across in a 30-second commercial.
No, you can't. That's
or
true.
A billboard.
Yeah.
And that's where the two-way communication works. And if I use that herbal treatment, and I've used it, I like it.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, I understand it works for me, works for my family, and as a mom, it works for you.
So you already have social proof that it does work.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So now when you get the person more involved in the brand, they start becoming a brand lover.
Yeah.
They learn more about the brand, and they have the incredible ability to communicate and educate about their brand, and they're doing it from a position of, you know, you're authentic.
Yeah.
You genuinely believe in it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's such an incredible channel.
Right, and the results are there for all to see anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you believe, you trust your friend.
Yes, of course.
You know, you trust your friend. The problem with a lot of advertising today is that people lose trust.
Yeah.
From in a range of other media, you lose the trust because you know that the person trying to communicate, trying to sell to you.
Yeah.
And from that perspective, you know, your trust diminishes.
Yeah.
Whereas someone, your friend tells you about it, your trust is enhanced.
Yeah.
And you believe in it because your friend's told you he's never going to lie to you.
Yeah.
And that's the real beauty.
There's this concept of a mirror. When you're looking at a billboard with Beckham with a six-pack and beautiful girl, it looks like it's out of touch with my reality. But if it's a friend of mine, next door kind of guy, I believe him more because he mirrors exactly who I am and what my aspirations are. So I tend to listen more to him than I would to Beckham, no matter how big he is.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. You're 100% right.
Yeah.
Not that your friend, maybe your friend also has a six-pack.
Yeah, but it looks...
at least you know why he's got it. You can see him in the gym every day.
Exactly. He's invited you for a session and you've said no.
Exactly. Right. So would you say influencer marketing is becoming its own media channel?
Very much so. Yeah. I think that it's, you know, it's, as I say, as I talked when I spoke about it earlier, I said, like Adam and Eve, it's always been there.
Yeah.
But the focus to develop it and enhance it and use technology today to really report back on the process of influencer marketing and to use social media has enhanced that business dramatically.
Yeah.
And that's really turned it around to a large extent. And I think that now it's become more and more focused.
Yeah.
Internationally, it's grown dramatically.
Yeah, yes.
We sort of following the trend from a South African perspective, but it is massive internationally.
Yeah.
And you talk today, if you look at, if you wherever you go today, you start to speak to brand managers or speak to marketing managers, all of a sudden they're starting to understand the influence of marketing, starting to enter their sphere more and more and more.
Yeah.
I mean, we, you know, in our businesses, we'll see rapid growth, 60-70% growth on prior year, purely because it's become the space where people really understand I can get to my consumer even in a tough economic environment.
Right.
Because now when times are tough and there's less, for example, budget, so let's assume budgets are reduced.
Yeah, so you basically need more bang for your ads.
Exactly. That. Yeah. I want to make sure that it's working hard for me.
Yeah.
You know, and I've got an ambassador, an influencer just putting in exceptional effort for me.
Yeah. So it's transcend from being just a nice to have to being something that all businesses should consider.
Very much so. Yeah. I must say, I can't think of a business in reality that doesn't need
that
a
product.
No matter what you're going from an FMCG product, future banking service, there's always an opportunity where you need education.
Of course. And in terms of the influencer marketing space in South Africa, where would you say we are at the moment?
Are you talking about comparatively to...
Not even comparatively, but just within our own market. Are we growing? Are brands coming to understand its use?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I must say very much so.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's an area where more and more companies, so there are a range of companies that are starting to move into this particular area.
All right.
Media companies.
Okay.
That are trying to move into this area. You can see it growing.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue growing.
Yeah.
Because when you see an environment where there's an opportunity, media people jump in straight away. So you'll always see that growing, which is very good.
Yeah.
I mean, the more people that are out there hitting the same marketing manager, the better it is, because it drives the proposition of influencer marketing through to that person. He starts to understand, hey, I better be in this space.
Yeah.
And as I said earlier, once they're in,
they never want to come out.
They come in and they may be a seasonal brand, and they pull out, they come back in the following year. They always come back.
All right, because they can see the impact and the results that are coming off it.
Yeah. Very much so.
All right. And also in terms of that space, what do you think is next?
In terms
look into your crystal ball, and in terms of the influencer marketing space, what do you think is next?
No, I think that the technology will drive it.
All right.
So from it, you know, obviously we've got to consistently look and see what's out there from a technological perspective. You know, our growth in technology is so rapid year on year.
Yeah.
And I think that we've just got to keep on top of the game.
Yeah.
So anybody who's involved in this space has got to be looking internationally and saying, what's happening?
Yeah.
How do I pick up that technology, bring it into my environment, how they use it from a report back process to client. So that is going to grow rapidly. The basis of what it really is, and I'm just getting the average person to speak about your brand, is still there. I'm saying doesn't change.
Yes,
I mean, it's Adam and Eve, it doesn't change, but technology will enhance
it. Drive
it gives me a far better opportunity to communicate to a bigger group of people.
Yeah.
Think about today with social media, how you have the ability to communicate with so many friends that you couldn't do in the past.
Yeah.
So that's changed life a lot.
Yeah. And in terms of Infinity and Can, what's next?
So
I'm sure you're always sitting there at the end of the day or during the day and thinking, what do I need to do next?
So we are really. So we've been very focused to say, what is the next step?
Okay.
And again, our focus has been around technological advances.
Okay.
So we're looking at that right now. In fact, we've got a business. I can't unfortunately give you some heads up on that right now, but certainly can in a month's time, and we're looking to see how do we develop this unique opportunity we've picked up.
All right.
And we're going to put a good resource behind it,
all
because
right.
we really believe it's another leg
of
technology development. And to be honest, it's not anything wow. It's just that technology has allowed a basic component of communication into a space where people haven't thought about before. That's all it really is.
But so I would love to have you back when that finally pans through, so that we can find out what it is and see if the world needs to know about it quick enough.
Absolutely, I'd love to come back again.
Alright, and for a guy who's always thinking, you strike me as a huge thinker, what do you do in your downtime?
To be honest, I have no hobbies. I'm not a golfer, I don't play chess, so I don't do anything besides. So in reality, my focus is business. I don't do much more than that.
Okay.
And sort of spare time, there's not a lot of spare time.
I probably
get to the, you know, I tend to do a bit of exercise in the mornings, a bit of a run.
All right.
And then get to the office around 8:15.
Okay.
And then I tend to leave at 7 at night. So that's sort of the hours, and then you have a meal, and then you sort of get onto your laptop and start going through stuff.
Yeah.
So you spend your sort of life around the businesses.
I also spend a lot more of my time on my iPhone and the laptop.
Yeah,
there's nothing like, oh, I need to relax. Relaxing means I'm doing research.
Correct.
Yeah.
And the problem today is, you know, like the WhatsApp as an example, you know, these groups of WhatsApps, so you get tied in with friends and they just, that's probably the biggest interference.
Exactly. But that drives transactions, isn't it?
It's stuff that you probably don't need. The truth of it is you don't need it.
You don't need it.
That's a massive distraction.
Yeah.
It's something that I wonder how many people, how many hours of unnecessary time is wasted.
It's wasted on that.
Groups,
Thank you so much, Ken, for coming through. I definitely would like to have you back, maybe in the next month or two.
It's been a
pleasure having you.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity to chat to you. Thank you very much for...
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ken Verages. Have a pleasant day.